So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. Today we're going to be talking about something slightly different in sales: improv, how you can use it in sales, what it is, and maybe a couple exercises. And to do that, this is a different topic. I was telling Rob I've done more than 200 episodes on the podcast to date, and this was, I'm like, oh, let's do this because we've not talked about it, and it's pretty interesting. And we have talked, as you know, about a decent number of topics. So to do that, we brought on Dr. Rob Peterson, currently a university professor at Northern Illinois University. Rob, how the heck are you?
I'm doing awesome. We're going to call that Illinois, not Illinois. keeping a sharp eye on you. I'm listening, baby. I'm listening.
That is so true. That's what you'd call an uneducated Utahn talking, who's spent all his life, and you'd know that's not true. I haven't, but good call. We won't bring up Illinois again. We'll just leave it at that. Rob, tell us real quick. I want to get into this topic, but you've got such a cool history. You've obviously taught for a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of, you know, what you've done and kind of your storied past?
Sure. Well, I'm starting to be an old dog now. 20 years ago, I earned my PhD, and I've been teaching sales, negotiation, entrepreneurship ever since. I started out in sales. Washington, D.C. was my territory. I was sold ink on paper, you know, forms. I did that a few years. Then I moved from outside to inside, and could have used InsideSales.com back then. I was selling stock market quotation systems. So I was working the phone, 100% commission, really, you know, definitely impacted the way I look at the world and the way I look at opportunities. My dad was a career salesman, but I jumped into the research and the teaching end of it with a PhD. And so I've been doing that for 20 years now.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that great thing about Rob, we actually met up in Chicago at an event, and the guy seems like he knows what he's talking about. He's lived it. He's done it. He's taught it. We're going to be talking about improv today, but I think there's plenty of topics. If you want to reach out to Rob, certainly feel free to, and we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. Rob, besides correcting people on how to say Illinois, what is something unique about yourself? Is there a hobby you like to do outside of work? Is there crazy high school story, like you egged the prom king or something like that? Anything come to mind?
I got some safe ones. I got some safe ones to share, because I mean, certainly can't go back to high school. Let's see. To keep me off the street, I love Taekwondo for years, and so I'm a second degree black belt.
I remember that. That's right. You mentioned that in Chicago. That's right.
Avid Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. Now I'm, given back as a leader.
Are you really? So, hey, man, what's the Eagle Scouts? I can't remember, actually.
Always, once an Eagle, always an Eagle.
Hey, I'm an Eagle, man. I'm an Eagle Scout. That makes two of us. Don't watch. I'm trying to think of the Scout. Be prepared. Scout oath there. Scout motto.
Yeah. Awesome. And then last thing I do is I make wine now. And I've been doing that for about 10 years. So that keeps me...
The Boy Scout master who makes wine. Okay, got it. well, actually, it's Boy and Girl Scouts now. I know with the recent recent announcement, they've changed that. So good for them. Well, fun. Yeah, we'll have to next time we're in Chicago or in that area, we'll have to sit down and you can show me your winemaking capabilities. I'm dying to get to this topic. Let's quickly switch over. Improv, again, we talked about a couple different things that, you know, you're passionate about or you could do. With improv, I kind of smiled when you said it. I'm like, what the heck? What are you even talking about? Tell us a little bit about the background on that. Why is this something you've been thinking about or been dedicating some time to actually think about how it can affect sales in a positive way?
All right, let me give you a 30-second backstory. So I'm sitting in my office. This is about, 17, 18 years ago. And there's a young lady walks in, Lindsay Hamilton. She starts talking to me about this and about this dating, speed dating thing. I says, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, tell me what you're doing. She says, oh, I put on these speed dating things. So I said, explain it to me. So she does. I'm like, oh, we're doing that in class. We're not dating in class. This is, we're going to do like speed interviewing. And one, two, three, I did it that week. I said, okay, you're going to answer some regular questions. Like, you know, why should I hire you? Tell me about yourself. And you got to respond. And then I started throwing in some fun things just to have them, they have to think on their feet. They don't know what's about to flash on the screen. It was bam. Who's the better dancer? You or the other person? And then they had to debate it and figure out who was the better dancer, or, you know, who in this classroom was a little bit more comfortable with, you know, unethicalness. And so they got uncomfortable and they had to figure out, okay, am I going to name names and whatnot? And so it started branching off from there. And I've done it for years in different versions, in classes. And certainly that was the sales class. And then I moved to Chicago and I, you know, wound up within driving range of Second City. I said, you know, it's about time, if I've been doing this for years, why not go learn it from the people who, you know, are known for being improv masters. And so I started taking classes down there myself. I brought my students. They're on the phone, smiling, dialing. And that is a huge on the, you know, of the moment on the, on target. Wow. You have no idea what the prospect might say to you. And so we go down there, they get professionally trained. We see a show, the whole nine yards, and then they're calling and setting appointments. And when I first start out in the class, they're like thinking I'm insane. Like, why does this has nothing to do with sales? Why are you forcing us to do this? Blah, blah. And then after a while, after we get on the phone, they realize like, oh my gosh, this is nothing but great training, because the person might say, I'm busy, or who is this again? Or whatever comes out of their mouth, then they have to be live and respond, and it has to be useful. Yeah. And that is where the improv comes into play.
Wow. So it's interesting. You know, I hadn't really, I have been kind of looking forward to this, this podcast, and I was thinking improv, you know, one of the things, I mean, it's certainly not formal improv training, but, as I was preparing for this, I was looking and thinking, my goodness, you know, the thing that's probably been so beneficial. I mean, I've been running this podcast for 18 months, but, I jump on, I do 2 episodes a week, and I wish to say that I, you know, had copious notes here and, whatnot, but I typically just jump on, just, you know, like you and I did, and we prep for a few minutes. I'm not supposed to tell this to the audience.
There you go, but, improv. There you go.
You know, more or less, it kind of feels like improv, and you wouldn't believe. I mean, I feel, and I'm probably patting myself too much on the back here, but boy, I totally agree with you. I was almost late to our thing because I was just doing a presentation for some people, and man, I just feel like I can jump up in front of people, answer questions, lead interviews. You, just by throwing yourself in the fire, it does make a huge difference. I had not thought of it in the case of sales, but boy, are you like put on your heels every single day when you're on the phone. Why, how are you different than your competitors? Why are you guys so ugly? Why do you, you know, you're right. And if you're not quick on your feet, sometimes it isn't the answer. It's the confidence probably. Is that true? I mean,
that's the first thing. That's the first one. So I'm doing some research, as you know, I've been reading what we call the academic literature. To look at what improv and what we studied, and there's a whole. I mean, it's and so I'm doing it with my students. I've collected data on them the last semester.
Right.
And it's all If you look at it, it's confidence and preparedness, and the ability to adapt and be spontaneity, have some spontaneity to it, and creative thinking, and comfortable with being uncomfortable, and listening, collaborating, and being flexible. Wow. Now, those sound like sales rep phrase.
I was like, wait a minute, is this improv or is this the definition of prospecting?
Yes.
Yeah, being comfortable when it's uncomfortable. Oof, I might steal that one from you.
Please do. I like that because one. You know we talk about all these quote, soft skills. They're soft skills. Like soft skills, like listening, creating relationships. Staying positive in the face of adversity, adapting to change. Oh, yeah, these are such soft skills, right? These are amazing traits, skills, abilities that sales reps have and exhibit on a daily basis. And that's why they make it to the top, because you're trying to respond to a situation with, you know, some agility, and you grab the information you need and you look at the opportunity and then you respond to the challenge that you're given, and you're doing all this. And you kind of mentioned it. We're going to call that kind of like rehearsed spontaneity.
Yeah.
You're an expert and yet you still have to react. And if the listeners at home want an example of that, just think of what was his name? Captain Sullenberger.
Yeah.
You know, he's an expert flyer. He knows all kinds of things. All of a sudden both engines go out and you have to land on the Hudson. Well, if you saw the movie, if you read the book,
totally flip both the of books. Them. Both of them. Yeah, I did read.
They do the books to start, and they're like, "Okay, this is not now. What do we do? Forget that. Let's just figure out how we're going to place this bad boy in the safest spot." Which is what you and I do, and what other experts do. But it's rehearsed spontaneity. You have to be ready to go.
Yeah, rehearsed spontaneity. It is funny though. It does require that's not a muscle that is just naturally there. It is a muscle that has to be worked enough so that when the engine goes out, you can rely on kind of that muscle memory that just automatically kicks in. And I think that's sadly why it's interesting because, you know, people love authenticity in sales reps and they like the sales rep truthfully that are consultative and know what they're talking about. But for whatever reason, I think in sales, oftentimes we've gone, or the stereotype is the BSer, right? The guy who wings it, who just comes in and doesn't prep at all. And, you know, and that's kind of the sales rep is just kind of the cool person that can do that. And it's sad because I feel like that stereotype, although in some cases is true, boy, can it be really powerful when a salesperson does come in a room, seems like they're kind of, you know, quote unquote, not necessarily unprepared, but they just jump on a whiteboard and they start, you know, marvel. The audience becomes marveled, but it's, you know, it's like, yeah, you just asked me a question. And I've got so much prep. I've got that muscle memory that I can jump into it, but I don't know if we found a way. I don't know if we found a way to get sales reps to do that, but maybe it is improv. Maybe that's where we need to go.
Wow. It's certainly got to, I mean, and the people are, even sales folks, and I'm dealing with people who are going to get a sales certificate. They're going to go out and get sales jobs.
Right.
And even them, they're looking at me like, are you serious? We're supposed to do something live without a script. I'm like, and then I break into one of my, you know, I'm a dad, so I've got all my dad stories ready to go. It's like, okay, when you got up this morning, did somebody hand you a script for your conversations through the day?
Yeah.
No. So your whole life is nothing but one big improv.
That's
so
right.
Roll with me.
That's right.
So roll with me. You have some skills and some things and some creativity. And so the difference between, you know, good comedy and good sales are pretty similar because you've got, you know, creativity, communication, and collaboration is what makes a good improv true. Creativity, communication, and collaboration. Well, geez, what makes a great sales rep? You got to be creative with your solutions. You have to communicate and you got to collaborate. You know, collaborate whether either internally within your own company or collaborate with the prospect in order to come up with the best solution. I mean, so there's so many similarities that I started to see as I got further and further into this in the past year.
I mean, you'd be the first, I think, that heard some people, you know, say use jokes in the sales process or do this in the sales process, but improv, you're my first one, so kudos on that. How do you take this to that next step? I mean, you've obviously got leaders listening on the phone, people who are looking for something to kind of get them to the next level, next step. You obviously teach this. You found ways to probably actually teach it, and you've got a lot of people who are teaching sales reps on a daily basis or onboarding them. How do you start to turn this into practicality? I mean, do you recommend leaders start to go down to the improv station? Do you, is there some exercises that you found to actually be effective to do that? Or what are things that tactically people can do to start winning with this?
Yeah, there's baby steps to start. And then after a while it becomes, you know, I normally start it with in teams of three. So it's not a spectator sport. So everybody's not watching you.
Okay.
And you're working on different things. So we'll do one in a second. And then, you know, through the semester, then we start to do it where we're a bunch of voyeurs. So I throw two people up there or three people up there, or I add in somebody midway through the scene and then they just have to work on it. So, you know, you can have, what's the relationship of those two people up there? Oh, they're brothers. Or it's a customer and their sales rep. And where are they? Oh, they're on the beach. Oh, they're on the top floor of blah, blah, blah building and whatnot. And then you start to, when I start, you normally give them a little bit more guidelines in order to act within. And then as time goes on, they don't want that. And they don't need that. But, you know, you kind of cross the boundary between, okay, are we doing a role play? Or are we doing improv?
And yeah, again, yeah.
Improv, most people think it's supposed to be funny. Business improv just needs to be, goes back to the, some of those things I said. You have to have confidence. You have to have collaboration, spontaneity, comfortable, creative, right, blah, blah. And so, so that is where I start with. I start with the funny stuff, and then all of a sudden I start adding in more, and you know, the college students generally don't notice, and they're loving it because they're getting to practice something that they don't get crushed then on the phone. So one of the things that, that sales reps and human beings don't do is we don't listen.
Yes.
What? Oh. So there's a simple exercise. So if you've got a, if you've got a bunch of, you know, recalcitrant team is like, oh my God, here comes our trainer, or here comes our district sales manager and wants us to do this dumb stuff, blah, blah, no way. Well, it's just simple. It's called last word. Okay. And so I'll, it could be a, in this way, we're going to do a sentence ish. And this, it's not going to flow perfectly, because you're going to have to use the last word that I use in my sentence, and then we're just going to keep building.
Oh,
and so what does it take us to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to listen. And yeah, let me tell you, most people don't. So for us, I'm going to start out with, you know, today I'm doing this podcast instead of going to the beach.
And then I pick up using beach and then run the sentence.
Beach has to be the first word.
Oh, it has to be. Oh, it has to be the first part of my sentence. Beaches, yeah, beaches in California are not quite as good as beaches in Hawaii.
Hawaii is a wonderful destination, but there's a lot of sharks there.
Do I have to start with there? Can I use shark?
There. Nope.
I guess I'm not good as improv as I thought. There you have it. There you have it. If you've heard the words of wisdom by older gentlemen, people don't eat bacon.
Bacon is awesome when it's wrapped on anything.
Anything stays, but everyone must go. That was what an ancient proverb said to me in Tibet.
All right, I use Tibet, but I think the listeners get the thing.
Like, man, I was like, I'm having fun. I'm trying to get Rob off his horse here, man. He was good.
But you know, I will tell you this is
cool,
that
though,
just
man.
That
yeah,
simple
cool
exercise.
Yeah.
It makes the sales force. Are you really listening to your prospects?
Oh my goodness,
are you
that's
really
funny.
Listening to your customers, and yeah, that little exercise. It doesn't flow. I mean, it doesn't flow perfectly as in English language. But you know, then there's the director's cut, and so you and I will. It's kind of hard because normally a third person would be in our trio.
Sure, got it.
You and I would be together, and the third person monitoring us, which is whoever spoke last, they would say cut. And let's just say I was talking and says, "Gosh, I love bananas. Cut. Apples. Cut. Fasting. I don't like to eat." And then it was your turn. So you have to be nimble and ready to.
They can cut you off whenever they want. So I just start talking and they say cut, and then I have to change topics or
whatever you said last, whoever's the last person to speak and whatever you said last. Now you have to change it to and it can be a small a pivot like I did with, oh, I love apples. No, cut oranges. Cut. Oh, bananas. Or it could be like a bigger thing. It was like fasting, or I could change the whole sentence. And then the next person gets to talk. And so again, it's the act of listening. And you're like, yeah, you don't know when I'm going to stop talking or what word I was going to stop on in the last exercise.
Oh,
so all of a sudden, the simplest
cool,
way to get
man
people to listen.
Yeah.
It's improv.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I've been to a couple improv shows. I've just never thought about actually practicing it myself, but it's funny, you know, just, isn't a real world example as I'm listening to you. As I mentioned, I've done so many podcasts that, you know, Rob and I are on video because I told him, you know, sometimes I start to not pay attention. I'm, you know, taking notes, I'm responding to emails, whatever it may be. And some of the listeners may notice that if it's a boring podcast for you, it's probably boring for me. So don't think I'm not, you know, answering emails. Anyways, so I try to do video to do that, but I usually think I listen. And with Rob, I mean, I've got on video and I'm feeling like I'm listening. But as soon as we did that first example, Rob, I mean, I could feel myself like, you know, leaning forward, waiting
yes
for that last note, last word, and then jumping on. Like, I thought I was listening to you. No. No offense, but I wasn't, I don't know if I was like listening, but when we did the exercise, I like felt myself hone in. That's cool. That felt different, which you should be. I mean, how many sales phone calls and presentations? It's like, yeah, my sales process, and I don't have enough quality. I don't have enough quality leads, and I don't build pipeline. Yeah, it's like you and everybody else. So it's like you've got it. You think you're listening, but you tone out a little bit. But yeah, practicing active listening. That's cool. Interesting, man. So are you going to write a book on improv and sales? Because I'm like, I'd love to Google improv and sales, but I have a feeling there's not going to be any. There's probably not going to be anything out there.
I will tell you, as far as usability, there's a book called Yes and. It's written by two guys at Second City, Kelly Leonard and Tom Yorkton. And it's not an improv book that they're going to, that if you were down there and they're teaching you things in the class. It's more of a, what is yes and as a philosophy?
Yeah.
And it will change the culture of your company as opposed to being negative or not listening. If you read the book, you could Google. And I've read in the past year, I started reading, and I think you're right. There is a chance for me to write something on improv and sales. Not only just the philosophy, the thoughts, some exercises, and then just some of the funny things that go on on the phone. And I've got young people who are going to be in sales, or 21, 22, they're in college, they get on the phone, and some of the things that are said and done are not only hilarious, sometimes absolutely wrong, and they get off, and then I coach them, which is what your sales managers and your trainers do anyway. But then they get a next at bat, and so they, every day before we start calling, We do a couple of improv exercises to get them honed, to get their brain going. When I've gotten to do some class shows at Second City with the team, and we always like an opera star, we'll warm up their voice. We do warm ups to get you thinking, to get your brain going, to let the day situation flow out of your brain and get you ready to present on stage. And that has been a phenomenal teaching opportunity for me, for the students, but also any salesperson out there.
I may have to pass this to a couple of my teams, because I do feel like role-playing, I don't know if it's ever worked, and it feels a little static, and it feels like it even has a little bit of a negative connotation. But I can just see, my team huddling in the morning. We got some sales development reps here. Inside sales is sitting right over there. Kind of doing that like improv, like, just even throwing out just again relevant inside sales, like what makes us different than X, or what's our number one facet, or and see if people can start to feed off each other in a little more of an improv. Man, that's an interesting concept.
And then throw in something fun, because they're always waiting.
Yes, that's right. So that's right.
Throw the best, and then you're in the circle. Let's just say you point to somebody else, and you throw out your best movie line. And it gets them thinking, and they're all listening now. It's like, he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And then the next person points, something about the Field of Dreams, or the next person points about email, or whatever. And again, listening is the fine art. And so, it's a competitive advantage. If your sales force can listen better than the competitor sales force, I mean, you just got a leg up. What do you think the customer wants to do? Somebody who's not listening, or somebody who's actually actively listening? So.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Rob, I appreciate the thought-provoking conversation. You got my head turning here. Summary concept. I mean, if you had to kind of summarize this for the audience, any words of wisdom you'd leave with them? Like, hey, think about this, or maybe do that?
Well, I think if you can grab any type of, Google something that you're willing to read and just dip your toe in even further. Try some of these exercises. I mean, unfortunately, I got two teenage kids, and so I make them do these things, and they're like, "Ah, Dad, come on!" But you can try this with some people at parties. There's all types of games. You don't even have to buy a book. There's so many games that you can play.
You can just kind of play around with it.
Play with it, and we're talking about listening, but then you can throw in your own role plays with emotions and say. Have the sales team say, okay, give me a typical buyer seller challenge that you guys had in the last month. And like, oh my God, whatever it is, you say, okay, you two get up there, you're going to role play. I'm going to throw in again to make it fun. And then the debrief is huge. So, okay, you two talk to each other. It's like, okay, now talk as if you're still buyer seller, but now you're Pope and Kim Kardashian. So now they got to throw in some of that. And so then everybody's listening. Then you stop, you have some laughs, and then you debrief, and there, and that's your learning. So you kind of thrown in some little fun and laughter. And again, it's up to the sales manager, whomever, to decide how comfortable people are going to be. I mean, college students, there's no danger. They're all in all the time. I got to rein them back to make sure it's somewhat.
Especially if you bring in some of the fun stuff. Well, Rob, man, really appreciate it. Again, it was fun to meet you in person. I could kind of feel your gusto for the sales profession, and I'm sure your students do as well. So thanks for all you do, my man. Looking forward to working with you on other projects. If someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
Probably through LinkedIn, which is Robert M. Peterson, PhD. There's a lot of Robert Peterson. So if you PhD in there, that should get you to me.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks for joining. For the audience, success, it's just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.